Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. This can be found on page 23 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. So reading from Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna, the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you're making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what they're saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is the word of the Lord.
It was Sunday morning. The normal workday week, which had been put aside for the Sabbath, resumed. Jerusalem buzzed with activity, for in addition to the normal activity of the city, this was the Passover season, and the city was filled with visitors. In the village of Bethany, about 3 kilometers from the city, Jesus and his disciples were preparing to go into Jerusalem. As they walked along, they approached Bethphage, a village within sight of Jerusalem. Jesus called two of his disciples to him. "Hurry ahead of us into the village. There you will find a mother donkey and her colt tied. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just tell them that the Lord needs them, and the owner will let you take them." Well, they followed Jesus' instructions, and when the rest of the group arrived, they had the animals ready. They threw a cloak over the mother, but Jesus told them to put the cloak on the colt. Well, they did so a bit apprehensively. You see, this colt had never been ridden. If it was broken to ride, it would no longer be with its mother. But Jesus went to the colt, stroked it, and spoke to it, and then mounted it without any trouble. As they left the village and approached Jerusalem, the other pilgrims who were going into the city began to spread their cloaks on the road ahead of Jesus. Others cut branches from the low palms and spread them on the road, and they began to shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, as you can imagine, this all attracted a lot of attention. And as they entered the city, people who were already there asked, "Who is this?" And the crowd replied, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." What did all this mean? Well, the answer lies in the claim that Jesus was a prophet and in the Old Testament prophecy that is quoted. The people recognized that the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem was a symbolic event. Matthew tied it to the prophecy of Zechariah, in which the coming king, the Messiah, enters Jerusalem on a donkey. That's why the people made a carpet of cloaks and palm branches for Jesus. They recognized this as a symbolic claim that Jesus was the Messiah, and they responded to it. Now, immediately after the triumphal entry, Matthew tells us about the cleansing of the temple. He clearly wants us to see a connection between the two events. Around the temple proper, there was a great court, which was called the Court of the Gentiles. Anyone from anywhere could worship God there. That court had been turned into a vast outdoor market, where the people were able to buy the animals they needed for sacrifice and to change their Roman coins into the Jewish shekel, which was required for the temple tax. The market met a legitimate need, but Jesus had two objections to it. First, it usurped the only place where Gentiles could worship God, and second, it had become corrupt. In practice, you see, the merchants and money changers in the temple had a monopoly, which enabled them to make huge profits for which they paid a fee to the priests. God's place of prayer for all people had become a place where the people of God were being robbed. Jesus acted against that injustice. He released the animals from their pen and started them stampeding out of the court. He overturned the tables of the money changers, sending shekels rolling and the money changers scrambling to recover them. Now, having taken this bold step, Jesus didn't go into hiding. Far from it. He stayed in the temple precincts, healing all who were coming to him. Children, you know, who had heard that cries of the crowd, continued to shout the same slogan. "Hosanna in the Son of David," they cried. Now that really upset the priests. Their authority had been challenged. Their prophets had been lost. These words were a terrible affront to them. "You hear what these kids are saying?" they asked Jesus. "Yes. Doesn't it remind you what the psalmist says about God? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself." Jesus couldn't have infuriated them more if he'd been trying to do it. These events of Palm Sunday set the tone for the rest of the Passion Week. By the triumphal entry, Jesus made a clear and open claim to be the Messiah. By the cleansing of the temple, he set himself against unrighteousness and injustice, especially where it is carried on in the name of God. During the rest of the week, he put the leaders of God's people on trial. He confronted them on their home ground. He challenged them. He showed that they were not true to God's intentions and directions. By his parables and by his actions, he put them on trial, condemned them, and passed sentence. Because they had failed God, God would reject them and establish his kingdom with others. Well, they responded to that. They responded by arresting him, holding a rigged trial, condemning him, and crucifying him. And Jesus made no attempt to counter their violence. He went willingly to the cross, laying down his life as an act of obedience to the Father. And the Father responded by raising Jesus from death, thereby publicly declaring God's acceptance of the one who was despised and rejected. and putting the divine stamp of approval on everything that Jesus had said and done. In that clash between Jesus and the Jewish rulers, God took Jesus' side. God declared that the voices that cried out on Palm Sunday, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," were speaking the truth. The story of the cross of Christ is a simple one. It's tragic, but it's simple. But the explanation that's given of that event is given to us in many different images. If we try to give just one single explanation of the cross, we fail to do justice to it. In fact, even if we just say one explanation is primary, we don't do justice to all that God accomplished in the death of Christ. And so that leads us to ask, what images of Christ, what images of the cross do we see when we look at it through the window of Palm Sunday? Well, I think there are two. On the one hand, we're asked to recognize that it was truly God's chosen servant, the prophet Messiah, the Son of God, who died on the cross. The death of Christ was not a triumph of evil over good. The death of Christ was not an accident. The death of Christ was not a cosmic tragedy. The death of Christ was an essential part of the plan of God by which we human beings could be reconciled to God. The cross was God's act of intervention in our world by which God's love comes to fullest expression, and God forgives all our sins and accepts us as his own children because Jesus died for us. In the cross, God takes our injustice and transforms it into forgiving love. In the cross, God reconciles us to himself, destroys the enmity between us by accepting us as members of God's own family. In the cross, God turns us from his enemies into his friends. And so the cross calls us to accept God's gift of love and to open our hearts to receive God, even as God receives us. On the other hand, we're asked to remember that the man hanging on that cross was the one who cleansed the temple of God. He was a man whose heart of love could not tolerate injustice which hurts people. He was a man who would act against injustice for the sake of those who were being hurt. He was a man who would confront and challenge those who were using their power to take advantage of the powerless. He was a man who was killed because he challenged the powerful and defended the powerless. And he is the one who said, "You are my disciples if you do as I command you." So the cross calls us to accept the challenge of identifying with Jesus as he identifies with the powerless. The church is not called to be rich. The church is not called to be powerful. The church is called to be caring and loving. The church is called to care for all people, especially for those whom others ignore and oppress, which means that you and I are called to be caring people to all those whom God brings into our lives. Today, we sing Hosanna. On Thursday and Friday, we move into the darkness that surrounds the cross. And 1 week from today, we celebrate again the glorious victory of life over death in the resurrection of our Lord. As we move through this Holy Week, may God touch our hearts so that the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus may fill us with gratitude for God's love and with determination to live as Christians, the people of Jesus. To God, who sent his Son into the world for our sake, be praise and honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.